So we are continuing in our series looking at a section of the book of Hebrews which describes Jesus as our great high priest. And we've thought about what it means to be a high priest, Jesus the one who represents us before God and offers himself as a sacrifice in place of those repeated sacrifices that the Old Testament high priests had to offer. Jesus offered himself once for all time so that we would be completely forgiven for our sins. And now the author of Hebrews is focusing in chapter 8 on another aspect of God's relationship with his people through the high priest. And that's the idea of the covenant. The covenant. Now, a covenant, as you may or may not know, it's described as a pact, a binding agreement between two or more parties. Another word for it is testament. That's why we have two sections of the Bible, the Old Testament or Old Covenant, and New Testament or New Covenant. And there are several in the Bible. Theologians have a great time trying to identify quite how many covenants there are in the Bible. But the book of Hebrews here is focusing on two very important ones. And the first one is the Mosaic Covenant, what people call the Mosaic Covenant, the one made with Moses on Mount Sinai, and then the New Covenant in Jesus' blood that we just heard Graham reading, Jesus describing his own death and pouring out of his blood as the New Covenant in his blood. And the old one was defined in Deuteronomy 11. God said to Moses, "See, I am setting before you today," and that's you, all the people of Israel, "a blessing and a curse. The blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and the curse if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God." Pretty straightforward old covenant. If you obey the Lord, you'll be blessed. If you don't obey the Lord, you'll be cursed. That's the binding agreement that the people of Israel entered into with God on Mount Sinai. But sadly, as we know throughout the Old Testament, the people did not keep up their end of the bargain. So through the prophet Jeremiah, God promised a new covenant, as quoted by Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 8. There's that long quote you can see there that the author of Hebrews quotes from the book of Jeremiah, to say, God promised a new covenant to the people of Israel, and it is happening now in the Lord Jesus Christ. And two things for us to notice about this new covenant. And that is that it is predicated, all of it, on the full unilateral obliteration of sin in verse 12. Note the unconditional nature of God's statement. Unlike the old covenant, there is no if in this statement. Do you remember from back in the bit I read there from Deuteronomy, "If you obey my commandments, I'll bless you"? No if here. Just, "I will remember their sins no more. I will forgive their wickedness." And that's not forgetting as in God saying, I can't quite remember what they did, like the way that you probably have forgotten what you got for your 8th birthday. It's not that kind of forgetting. It means, when the Bible talks about forgetting, it means not acting on anymore. So God will not act on his people's sin. Do you remember the old covenant said, if you sin, you'll get cursed? Not in the new covenant. I will not act on their sin anymore. And this, of course, is put into effect, this obliteration of sin in the new covenant, by Jesus' death on the cross. Hence why we say in the communion service, I'll stand over there in just a moment and repeat the words of Jesus, and in the Book of Common Prayer it says, "This is the New Testament in my blood." This is the new covenant in my blood. Jesus' shedding of his blood on the cross is the ground of the new covenant. And I don't know if you noticed that last verse that Sue read for us from Hebrews chapter 8. By calling this covenant new, he's made the first one obsolete. And what is obsolete and outdated will soon disappear. In other words, the old covenant is obsolete, it's wiped out by the new one. But one does not need to receive God's covenant. This is why communion is such a good symbol of the new covenant, because we don't kind of stand up to our side of the bargain, if you like. We just receive the covenant in Jesus' blood. This is why communion is such a good symbol of the new covenant, because all we have to do is just receive it. We come with nothing to offer. I don't say you can only come to the communion table if you bring something with you. to show that you're good enough to receive it. No, you come to the communion table with empty hands just to receive what God gives you. Many Christian writers have stressed that one of the main goals of the Christian life is to move from an old covenant to a new covenant mindset. In other words, from the idea that God's love and blessing is conditional on our obedience to a deep conviction it's unconditional. And goodness me, that's tough to move in our hearts. I know from my point of view it is. I'm constantly trying to prove myself to God, and I imagine that if I do bad, God's going to say, right, well, you're going to have a miserable week now, Oliver, because you did something bad. And if I do something good, I'm like, come on, God, I've done something good, I expect you to be nice to me now. That's not how the new covenant works. We have to move away from that idea that God will bless us if we're good and curse us if we're bad. No, God will remember our sins no more if we belong to the new covenant. So the first thing that the new covenant is predicated on, the complete destruction of sin. But also, secondly, under the new covenant, God's people will be obedient to him. Do you remember in the old covenant, they weren't. They just kept sinning again and again and again and again, and God eventually just abandoned, turned his back on his people. And the reason that under the new covenant, God's people will be obedient to him is because they're motivated from the heart. From the heart. And this is the best kind of motivation, because it's one that stems from love rather than from duty or fear or desire for gain. Now, God's laws, the Torah, the commandments, they were there to enable God's people to embody his goodness on earth. God is perfectly good. And he said, my people, listen to me. I want you to show all the nations of the world how good I am by obeying my commandments. Therefore, to have God's law in our hearts means that we want to embody his goodness on earth rather than just kind of feeling we have to. And Christian teachers throughout the generations have stressed receiving the blessings of God's new covenant through Jesus' blood is unconditional. We come with empty hands, we just receive it. But, they've said over the years, if there's no desire in a person to love God and conform one's life to his commandments, then such a person has probably not received the blessings of the new covenant. Why is that? Because when we trust in Jesus' death for us, and we receive salvation from him, we want to live our lives to please the one who loves us so much that he died for us. It's like, imagine this. Imagine you've given someone medicine for an illness. You know it works. You've taken it yourself. 100% guaranteed to get rid of the illness. So you've given them the medicine. You say, take this. It'll completely guarantee to make you feel better. And then you see them next week and they're still coughing and spluttering and, you know, choking up and things. And you think, well, probably you haven't taken the medicine, have you? Now, we believe salvation is through faith. We can do nothing to contribute to it. But it's evidenced by good works. And good works means not just giving money to charity or kind of being a nice person, all the things that the world thinks are good works, if you like. But good works means striving to obey the Ten Commandments. We never will be able to. But striving to obey them, as taught by Jesus, especially in the Sermon on the Mount, it means to love God, like we hear at the beginning of our communion service. The greatest commandment is this, to love God with everything we are. It's to avoid anger, to avoid lust, to stop being so focused on our own agendas and to be focused on God's. That's what good works means. That's how we evidence our faith. Another way of looking at it is this. Do we know God? In that wonderful prediction of the new covenant that we've just heard from Jeremiah, he says, they will all know me, from the least to the greatest. They won't have to go around poking each other and saying, come on, know God, because they will all naturally know him. This is the sign of the new covenant. So do we know God? Or does he seem distant, confusing, frankly a little bit irrelevant, apart from on a Sunday morning? Because to belong to the people of the new covenant means to know God, not distant, but intimately close, not confusing, but fascinating, not irrelevant, but utterly relevant to every moment of life. So under the new covenant, Jeremiah predicted that because they know and love God through the death of his son, his people will long to obey him, will know him, will have a heart that's focused on him. And so although we do believe that salvation is through faith. We can contribute nothing. We also believe that that faith needs to be evidenced through a changed life. And so when we hear things like this, it's a challenge for us. Some of us will be thinking, well, goodness me, am I doing enough? Am I doing enough to evidence my faith? Well, to you, I say, if you're worried that you're evidencing enough, then that's probably a good sign that you have faith. But we must all heed the challenge. If there is not a great fruit, if there's not a desire to please God, if there's nothing, if God means nothing to us during our weeks, then we should be wondering, have we put our faith fully in Him? Because there is nothing more important than whether we truly are people of the new covenant or not. And so, as always, I do urge you to speak to me. Perhaps give me a call, send me an email. I'm here to speak about these things. There's nothing more important than this. If you are in doubt about this, speak to me. Better to speak to me now than to leave it to the day that you appear before God in judgment. So please, speak to me about it. Sort this out in your own hearts now so that you may have the peace of truly belonging to the new covenant of Jesus Christ.